Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
In Powerhouse, our focus this morning, we're going to talk with Kathy Anderson and Sarah King from Empowerhouse about a bunch of things. Sarah and Kathy, good morning. Welcome. Glad to have you both here this morning. Kathy, it's been a while since we have talked, or since you've been in. It's been at least a few months. I know the domestic violence shelter continues to close in and getting that ready and open.
I know, it's unbelievable.
It seems like it should have happened already, but day by day they continue to make progress. We have all the drywall in, and they just put the kitchen cabinets in. And, you know, it's really just finishing. It's a race to finish. They've put in all new ceilings where needed because of different, codes, mm-hmm. and because it's both commercial and residential in ways they've had to really do a number of changes. But we're very, very excited because we're hoping to get people in right on or around August 15th.
Okay. As that gets closer and when we get there, we'll do a show and strictly talk about that. But I mean, we've talked before about this is really a big move to be able to go to a new shelter and go to a shelter that's going to be bigger and better serve the clients.
You know, I was just counting parking spaces. So the new one's going to have like 40 parking spaces. And I want to say we have somewhere around 10 now. Our ability to shelter more people and to shelter them well. The word shelter is something that people really have an awful time with, just getting past the idea of going into a shelter. But in fact, you know, as people have come in over the years, they've been pleasantly surprised at the homey environment we now have. Unfortunately, that homey environment is a little too close. And, you know, trying to cram 20 people into the building we are now serving people in has become just untenable. So, you know, being able to expand to 40 beds and, you know, 10 suites and 3 kitchens and 4 areas to do laundry, it's just, it's finally going to give people dignity, which is one of the things in our mission statement.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's going to be exciting. And when you get around to the time of opening, we'll have you back and we'll talk about that. All the years of you coming in here and talking about domestic violence and just what goes on around here, I don't know if we've ever focused on what we're going to talk about this morning of what Empowerhouse does to educate teenagers.
True. You know, unfortunately, it's an overlooked piece of our work. I mean, we focus on crisis intervention and, you know, as we should, to assist those in the situation, to help with their safety and to try and turn that around, try to intervene when it's happening. Fortunately, for years, and we continue to grow it, we have been able to go into the schools and talk to area teenagers about the warning signs of teen dating violence and healthy relationships. And that's why we're excited to do a show on that.
Sarah King is a support services coordinator for Empowerhouse. And this is one of the things that you do. And boy, talk about a necessary thing of just early on letting women know, girls know, what to look for.
Absolutely. I think it's a huge thing to be able to go in to the schools and even just start the conversation. Because so often, I think teens don't necessarily want to be told what they need to know or what they should be talking about. But starting the conversation just to say, let's talk about what healthy relationships look like. Let's talk about some of what you're looking for, some of the expectations that it's okay for you to have as a teen in a relationship, and so much more than just knowing this list of red flags, but just really getting them thinking about what it is that they should be looking for, and some of the expectations they can have, and healthy relationships as a teen.
Yeah, just because and especially with teenagers, everything starts out so dreamy and so isn't this exciting. But like you say, there are warning signs at any age, I guess, that are out there. And we don't like to think about that it starts with it that early, but I guess it does.
It does, and especially with teens right now, some of the rise with some of the social media and some of the different components among texting and social media forms, it's just huge when you think about digital abuse and cyberbullying and ways that teens are just constantly connected to one another, which can be a really positive thing, but it also can really exacerbate some of these red flags that we regularly look at by creating this sense that a teen does have a harder time sometimes ever escaping some form of abuse and control. There's even more ways for their peers and their dating partners to just continue to control them.
Well, and I guess same thing as when you're dealing with adults, with kids. A lot of times kids would think, well, this is, you know, that's just normal. That's just that age. And I guess you're there to say no. And in any situation, in any age, this is not acceptable.
Right. So many of what we've done as far as like the curriculum and what we go in and looking with schools, it's really giving them a lot of scenarios to say, let's not just look at, you know, and memorize these eight different things that could happen in a relationship, but really getting them looking at some of the different situations of, you know, if this were to happen, you know, what could you be looking for? Because a lot of times, both teens and adults alike, they may not realize it until it gets to a point that it is dangerous or physical. But so many of those warnings signs can be those initial emotional signs of control, telling them what they can and can't wear, telling them who they can and can't hang out with, or they can't talk to certain friends, or you know, those about the opposite sex. You know, they can't be engaging in conversations or even looking or you know, sitting next to someone. And so helping them to recognize that if someone is telling them, yes, you can or cannot be doing these things, similar to what like a parent would say, that's a problem. And helping to recognize that they really should be on an equal level with their peers and expecting that not only of themselves, but of their friends and of their dating partners.
I'm sure you hear the same things with teenagers that you hear then a little bit later as you hear with adults, just a lot of the same things, but in this case, it's just happening at a younger age.
Absolutely, and I think that helps to validate teens too. That it's not talking down to teens and saying, "Oh, you know, we have to educate you because you may not recognize it." I mean, it's adults alike, absolutely, and helping them just to know that if they can establish some of those patterns of healthy relationships as a teen, they're in such a better place to continue to establish those really healthy relationships into adulthood. And I mean, you look at some of the statistics too that look at when teens experience abuse for the first time as an adolescent, it puts them at such a higher risk to continue experiencing abuse throughout their lifetime. So helping them to know that this happens both in a teen life, adult life. Sometimes it looks a little bit different, sometimes not, but helping them to establish those healthy qualities early on.
Yeah, boy, better to learn it now. Better to learn it as a teenager. Absolutely. And then you don't carry it into as you become an adult.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Sarah King here. She is with Empower House along with Kathy Anderson, empowerhouseva.org, to find out all the good stuff that Empower House and all the tools that they offer. More on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking Empower House this morning, and especially teen education with Sarah King and Kathy Anderson from Empower House, empowerhouseva.org. We were just talking with Sarah to get started here about just some of the things that they talk to teens with. Is this a big problem as far as abuse goes with teenagers, Sarah?
Absolutely. It's suspected that about like one out of every three teen experiences some form of dating abuse, whether that be a form of physical, sexual, verbal, emotional, or some kind of even digital abuse online or across social media. So it is impacting a huge amount of teens. And also, I think that even the more disturbing data out there shows that most teens are not recognizing it and also not telling anyone. So out of all the teens that are experiencing dating abuse, only about a third of teens are ever talking to someone about it, which means that so many teens are probably not recognizing it or even reaching out for help. So that's one of the big things that we focus on, is not only helping teens to recognize, but also continuing to have the conversation about talking with someone, knowing there are people out there to talk to. And more so even training teens to be that friend who recognizes it and be that friend who steps into the life of a teen to help that teen get connected with an adult or with other kinds of assistance.
Wow, one out of three. That's huge. Yeah.
On top of that, too, I mean, you think about dating violence, it not only just affects that teen's relationship, but when a teen is experiencing dating violence, they're at such a higher likelihood to experience other health effects that can be just not only traumatic, but also just devastating long term. You're looking at teens that are at a higher likelihood to attempt self-harm or suicide. When young female teens are physically or sexually abused, they're six times more likely to become pregnant, experience eating disorders, anxiety, depression, PTSD also plays in. So you have a huge amount of health risks that the CDC has even recognized as major, major health concerns when you're talking about dating violence and its impact.
And when you mentioned just also equipping friends to be able to notice these things and to know what to do. Because even with adults, sometimes you may suspect something, mm-hmm. but then you don't really know what to do. And boy, at this age too, it'd be nice if to know what do you suggest? You know, do they talk to the person or talk to a teacher or talk to their parents?
I do different activities, but I try never ever to talk to teens without addressing that at the very end by saying, like, here are some things that let's talk about how you might talk with a friend. And I think it's also an easier way to approach it with teens. So as opposed to coming out and saying you have to talk to an adult, recognizing and helping the teens to recognize that they are going to go to their friends first, and their friends are going to recognize what's going on typically first. So generally, we will brainstorm with in a group what could they actually say or do to help a friend. And so what would they actually say in that moment? And of course, you have some kids that all of a sudden they think, yeah, I would know what to say. And then you ask them and they almost freeze up. It's hard to know, you know, what to say. But we brainstorm things like even just saying, you know, this is not your fault, or you deserve more, you don't deserve this. We talk about how sometimes a friend might push them away if they start to tell a friend exactly what to do. So helping to ask questions of that friend, are you okay? Can we look at this website together to look at, is your relationship healthy? I try to make sure that the teens also have quite a bit of resources outside of just even our local resources. That loveisrespect.org has a tremendous site with a lot of different resources that can be downloaded. They have videos, they have a live chat, as well as like a texting hotline. So teens can text in love is to 22522. It's a teen texting hotline if they don't feel comfortable calling our in-person local hotline. So talking with them about how to even broach that topic with their friends. But then the most important we do come around to is how important it is for them not only to talk to their friend, but to connect that friend with an adult, and then brainstorm about those safe adults, whether that be a school counselor, a teacher, a neighbor, another family member, their own parents. So all of those safe adults to talk to.
And I guess, boy, this is the kind of training that you want to get to as many people as you can, that parents ought to take a look at, teachers for sure, and like you say, counselors.
Absolutely. You know, it's so big for teens to be able to feel that support of teens and other parents around and other adults. So making as many people aware as possible of the realities of teen dating violence and some of the control tactics behind that are so prevalent can be huge, and helping not only to see those in teens' lives, but also helping adults to be aware when teens reach out and try to connect with them if that's going on.
And I know we've talked in past programs about how a lot of time women will deny it or say, he does really love me. And I guess you hear that same thing with teens.
Oh, absolutely. One of the big conversations we often engage in is this idea of jealousy, and how jealousy almost becomes this this thing that's almost idealized in a relationship that, oh, he's jealous of me and that's a good thing and he doesn't want me to talk to other people or she doesn't want me to, you know, go to other parties or, you know, talk to people. And helping teens to recognize that jealousy, some of the things that are attractive out of that jealousy, you can arrive at in much healthier ways. That typically jealousy is, does have like a sense of control behind it that can dip into some of that very unhealthy and go pretty quickly to those abusive realms of what can pretty quickly destroy and or create abuse in a relationship.
Well, in a lot of times, especially with teens, a lot of people, probably even adults, might even overlook some of this and figure kids will just be kids. That's a kid's thing.
Right.
But unfortunately, it's not, obviously. And if it continues, this is something that continues right on into adulthood.
Absolutely. I had a teen that came up to me just, I guess, in May and said, you know, a couple of her friends had addressed her last year. She was in a pretty, what she called a toxic relationship. And she said, a couple of friends had come up to me and said, you know, this is, I don't know if this is super healthy, but no one had come right out and used the word abuse. And when I came to her school last year, she said, all of a sudden, I just recognized that this was not just toxic, this was abuse, and it was not okay. And so we had a great conversation this year as she had been able to exit that relationship. Because I will often go back and talk with 10th graders after I've talked with 9th graders the year before. And so it was exciting to just to hear her story about how that recognition of not, you know, using the right verbiage, that it is abuse. It's not just this, you know, toxic or unhealthy. It really is abuse and not okay. And so recognizing that, being able to get out of that relationship and then being able to put some different boundaries to hopefully continue to have healthy relationships as she gets older.
Sarah King with the Empower House here. Sarah, what's really exciting about this is just the fact that as you talk and that you and Empower House, you're into schools and you're proactively teaching kids this instead of just sitting back and waiting until they're adults or until they come to you with problems. You know, you're able to get in and give them some training right now.
Absolutely. And you know, every presentation I go into, I mean, I hit anywhere from 6th grade to 10th grade typically. Sometimes I'll go into 11th and 12th grade in high school, but typically 6th to 10th grade. And I have different curriculum for each age level that we look at. But generally, we always cover those basics every single year, even if I'm talking to the same kids year after year. Those basics of, you know, what is abuse? Abuse looks like someone taking power and taking control over someone else, really tilting that scale of equality that a relationship should be like, if it's a relationship with a friend or a dating partner. We talk quite a bit about just the cycles of violence and how to look out for those. As far as recognizing that abuse doesn't always look bad, there could be cycles of a honeymoon period that really captivate and draw a teen back in and make them think that things are fine when really they're continuing to still escalate. So after that, we also look at just media and just different influences that can come in and affect some of those relationships.
Now, when Kathy and I have talked about this lots of times, how generally on the first date, you're not seeing abuse right away. It's not as though, you know, it immediately starts, but it generally just gradually happens, and then then it's off and running.
Absolutely. One of the first things we start by talking about is just how, you know, in the media we see these images of relationships that are abusive, and it gives us this perception that it's just guys that abuse, and that it's only physical abuse, and that it looks a certain way. And so if we're only looking for some of those red flags, it really minimizes some of the other things that can initially happen in a relationship, and really skews teen's perspective of, you know, I'm only looking for physical abuse, and I'm only looking for the male to be physically abusive to a female partner, when there's so much that could go on, that generally abuse starts as something that's emotional and looks like control. And it can start from a male or a female partner. And it could look like some of those digital forms. And I often ask teens, like, how long does it take you to be controlling over social media or to destroy someone's reputation? And, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, time and time again, they'll tell you a matter of seconds, you know, that there's a matter of seconds that it takes to begin to control someone across social media or through text. So just generating and starting that conversation can be huge.
The whole social media, it's just got, and especially in this kind of a environment, it's kind of terrifying what can happen.
Absolutely. I mean, anything from, pressuring for nude pictures to, things across line to, demanding passwords to changing someone's social media accounts. You have so much of that control again that, a teen, it's not just that they're controlled in person or over the phone, but they're in control sometimes constantly by this dating partner across different social media forums, where they are sometimes controlling what pictures they post or how many likes they have, or how many videos they put up. So it's just so interesting, some of the many facets that social media and that texting can, the components that can have on some of that control.
I would think that In your role of being able to go into schools and talk to people, and police do great work, and the resource officers that are in schools get a lot of information and befriend the kids. But with this type of thing, we think it would be much easier to talk to somebody like you, who's looks to you. You're closer in age a lot of times, and I would think it would be easier to confide in somebody like you if they do have a problem.
Sometimes I'm just an outside entity too, which is nice. Like I'm not connected directly to the school, which I think even teachers have, when I've worked with teachers and partnered with different schools, they found that to be a facet that can sometimes be helpful, is that it's not just the same person talking and, lecturing or doing activities. It's someone, it's a new entity coming in and saying, this is what we're here for. But it's also hopefully just serving as that additional resource that, school resource officers is tremendous, but that's one person in an entire school. And, and so making sure that, we recognize that that's one resource, that counselors are one resource, teachers are another, but just that we're an additional resource out there that can start that conversation.
It is empowerhouseva.org, the website for Empower House. Sarah King here and Kathy Anderson, more on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA, coming up on 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk. Done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Sarah King and Kathy Anderson here this morning from Empower House. We're talking about their work with teens. And boy, Kathy, it's amazing to me to think that we really, this is the first time we've really spent a show dealing with just teens, and it's kind of scary, the statistic when Sarah just talked about one in three, and you think about adults and one in four, there are a lot of people hurting at all ages that are in situations that a lot of us just don't ever know about.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame that focus on children and teens seems to be such a last part of the conversation, and it certainly has been when we've worked together. And the children don't have a voice like adults can speak for themselves. So to put resources into teens is something that we don't encounter a lot. So we don't encounter a lot of grants or a lot of financial resources to focus on teens. So we're very excited that we're talking about it with you. And we're also excited that we're expanding what we're able to offer. And we're going to do that in two ways. And one of those ways is a film that we will be producing. And it will speak directly to teens. It will be an education film. And it'll be a resource that Sarah can take into the schools. And we already have funding for that. And we also just received funding to hire an additional person so that when Sarah receives invitations to go into the schools, right now, she may she may get requests when she's already booked. And so there are presentations we have to turn down. So this will give us the ability to actually get to more teens. And you get to about, it was over 5,000 last year.
Over 5,000 last year, and anywhere from like 10 to 12 different schools, primarily high schools with 9th and 10th graders, mm-hmm. But several different middle schools, anywhere from, you know, 2 to 4 or 5 middle schools a year as well. So definitely hitting quite a few. Hit just under 4,000, was out for a lot of the fall myself this year, but like we hit just under 4,000 this year. So,
boy, and I'm sure, Sarah, there are times you run into a couple of things of where you give your presentations and talk about some of the things we've talked about, some of the warning signs, to see, you know, a light go on in someone's head about, oh, that does happen, or, you know, I just thought that was normal. That's got to be exciting to see that you're actually helping a person make the connection and start to understand some things.
Absolutely. It's interesting as you start to talk about some of the different red flags. And again, like, not even just talking about red flags for, you know, memorization or rote, but really getting them to think about like different scenarios that they're seeing in their friends' lives and different scenarios that they may have encountered. And it's, I think, probably the interesting thing too is as they begin conversations to realize that they know someone that is experiencing that. And so again, then talking about the conversation of, okay, what do you do when you're seeing this in a friend's life, and so being able to help them have those conversations of what do they do if they're seeing it. On the flip side too, we've seen women that have come and sought services with us, particularly because they had a teen that went home from a presentation saying, you know, I don't think this is okay, what's happening here at home. And so mom has sought services because of that. So it was interesting. I went to court with a young woman, I guess, 2 years ago, and I just happened to ask, how did you hear about us? And she pulled out the flyer that I'd given out at schools. And so her teen had come home, and that had been that final straw of, you know, mom had been waiting to do something, but when teen recognized what was going on, all of a sudden it just put it into a whole different realm of needing to do something to stop what was going on.
Wow, isn't that interesting? And in just another way that you don't often think about, that mm-hmm. You're getting a flyer somewhere where, you know, where it's needed.
Right.
And I guess, and the other thing that can happen is the person may not be in a situation now, but maybe down the line, they all of a sudden are in a relationship and remember something that, you know, that they heard in ninth grade that you gave, and maybe 5 years later apply it.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think the hope is that whether, you know, there may be a lot of teens that we talk to that haven't even, nothing like this has even come across their radar, if they're not dating or even, let's say, they're like, if we talk about friendships too, being healthy friendships when friendships aren't abusive as well. But, you know, part of the programming in the schools is even just to remind teens that not only of what a healthy relationship is, but that they deserve someone who will treat them equally. They also, their friends deserve to be treated equally. So helping even just teens to know, just generally, even if they're not experiencing or seeing abuse, just what they can expect, that it's not forming high expectations to expect your good friend or your dating partner to treat you with respect, to communicate openly with you, to not blame you for things that are going on, you know, to give you choices to be able to come together and have that shared power in a relationship.
Well, and to have, once you have this video as a tool, because I can remember it was a couple of years ago when Empower Us put together the video for doctors and those who worked in medical offices, you're training them. This will be just another tool that you have.
It'll be awesome. And I remember when Kathy first came and was sharing this vision of these videos, I remember thinking, oh, I just hope teens are next on the time slot. Because the video with, you know, across the healthcare profession was so huge, I think, in helping to get the word out. And so we are so excited about that opportunity now to look at it from the teen perspective. You know, and I think the difficult thing is I have so many volunteers that come through our organization that are really excited excited about working with teens, but it can be a little bit overwhelming to think about going in. And sometimes the classes will be as large as like 60, or even I've done as large as like 80 or 90. And so that's can be really intimidating, I think, for a volunteer. So to have a resource where they watch a video, they have some discussion questions, they watch another segment, and they have more discussion questions, not only I think is an approach that works well for teens, but I think it's an approach also that takes a little bit of that pressure off, allows more people to go in, have those conversations, potentially even to put into the hands of teachers and to educators to say, you know, it doesn't have to be us. We just want to get the information out, want to make sure that teens have that resource, they have the information, and that we're spreading the conversation.
And ultimately, you hope to just cut down on the situations. I mean, we've all seen and heard about just some of the horrible outcomes sometimes of abuse, and you just want to try to head that off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, I mean, just going back to those health concerns, I mean, whether it's teen suicide or it's, you know, risky behaviors of running away. I mean, even, you know, trafficking, different things that feed into this idea of some of the different effects that teen dating violence can snowball, I think, into a lot of other effects that greatly affect teens. So helping to really address it at that level of just what do they deserve in relationships, that every teen deserves a healthy relationship. And also empowering teens. Teens are just have an incredible voice, so encouraging them to have that voice, not only in their own life, but in the lives of their friends and their dating partners.
And Sarah, you've mentioned a couple times this morning about the fact that with teens especially, it's not just women who are the victims.
Absolutely. You know, among teens, a lot of studies are showing that, especially with that digital abuse and the, across social media, where it's so easy to just go in and write something on someone's wall or to post something or to send that picture on, or, you know, to demand that password and go in and change things on someone else's profile. You know, there's so many ways that emotional abuse and that control is really, we're seeing that across both lines, both males and females, you know, towards both male and female partners. So, you know, that control that across teens right now with all of, like, you know, texting and social media is so much more available to be taken advantage of, that we are seeing that women are at a higher rate, especially, you know, girls and young women between the ages of 16 and 24 do experience the highest rate of intimate partner violence. And so we're still seeing that predominantly it's a lot of young women. But I think it's really important for us to recognize that young men are absolutely are falling and being victimized by teen dating violence as well. But it's definitely not looking like what we would typically be watching out for.
Yeah. Well, and I would think that with social media in one way gives outsiders or friends a chance to, if you see something on someone's wall or you see something in social media that just doesn't seem right, you know, to say something.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, one of the times when we talk about, like, the cycle of violence, we talk often about, like, friends recognizing is during that tension phase where, you know, a friend is, you know, worried about how is my dating partner going to respond? How is my good friend going to respond? And, you know, recognizing that, you know, especially on social media, when things just seem to be intense and or things seem to not be right, you know, on the spectrum of, you know, our relationship's healthy versus abusive, there's a lot of that gray area in the middle that friends can be picking up on with other friends, and or just being aware that when it enters that gray area, it's not likely going to go back to being super healthy. So recognizing and helping friends to pick up on that they may need to gain a lot of support in their life to make sure that they don't find themselves in it, you know, going quickly to a form of abuse.
Well, the kind of information, Sarah, that you're offering, and especially also when once you have this this video to be able to use too, it's not just schools that can use this kind of information. You just think of church youth groups, mm-hmm. or just all kinds of anybody that's got kids, teenagers around. This is good stuff just to have available.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that is the hope too, is that it will be an easy tool that could be used. We oftentimes I will go talk with different teen groups, but again, just the availability, it really will spread you know, being able to have a volunteer just go in and to implement that or to pass it on to different different leaders in the community that work with teens, I think will be an incredible resource.
And at the end, I'll have you, because you gave a you gave a website a few minutes ago that people can go to. Just the fact that you can go to, whether it's the Empower House website or some of these other websites, and you can do that even if you don't want to talk to anybody about it, and just check it out. Go and look at some of those signs and see if they apply to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, one of my favorite sites for teens is loveisrespect.org, and a lot of other really great websites, whether it's thatsnotcool.com, Break the Cycle, athinline.org is an MTV site. Many of them just have incredible resources for teens to be able to go on, and whether it's like a questionnaire that they can look at, is my relationship healthy, or whether it's different activities online, or it's videos they can share across, you know, social media forums. There's lots of good resources out there that teens can turn to in a multitude of ways to find out more information and just, you know, start that conversation again, like in their circles of peers.
Yeah, well, it's just so interesting that this has been something that you have focused on and doing something with teens. It's not often talked about, but you've seen that there the need there and are continually getting into schools. I guess you're always looking for, you know, if schools are interested in having you or someone come in and talk about this, just get a hold of Empower House.
Absolutely. And generally we come under just talking about like healthy relationships in health classes and in the family life, covering some of the SOL requirements that they have in family life. But we're oftentimes, like I've been in family consumer science classes and other classes that it may just fit within the curriculum of what they're talking about. But absolutely, we're always open to youth groups or schools or whatever else, wherever else it would be helpful where we have a teen audience.
Sarah King here. She is the Support Services Coordinator at Empower House. Kathy Anderson, the Executive Director of Empower House here too. EmpowerHouseVA.org. We'll wrap this up when we come back on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking Empower House this morning, and specifically we've been focusing in on the situation with teens and what they deal with. Sarah King here, along with Kathy Anderson. Before we get out of here, Kathy, we started the show by talking about the domestic violence shelter that hopefully opens sometime in August. We've talked before about a lot of needs for that shelter as we get to almost to the finish line now. Anything you especially need?
Yeah, a couple of things come to mind. So we had an increase in expenses related to a fence we need to put in. A couple other things came up. So I think we're now at the 32,000 mark of closing out our campaign. So cash is always good. If anybody wants to be recognized as a donor, now's a good time to come in and be a first-time donor if you didn't know that was an opportunity. So again, we're opening that shelter in August, and we'd love for that support. But in addition, you know, we were really proactive with ordering the furniture or receiving donated furniture. So we've got our inventory. We're good with that. But we realized in our bathrooms, we need a number of things. So that includes medicine cabinets and putting, you know, in hotels where over the commode, you have a place for towels and things like that. So we need to put in some of those and toilet paper roll holders and bars for the towels and also for the shower curtains. So if somebody wants to call and talk about that or wants to finance that, we'd love to hear from folks. 373-9372.
373-9372?
Yeah, it's our business line. And, okay. And ask for me and we can talk through how people can help or go to the website and email or it'll be obvious on the website.
We've done, you and I have done a bunch of videos as the whole thing. I'll have to go back and look at some of the early ones we did just to see how it's all changed. And as we get closer, we'll do that again and we'll do a show.
Excellent.
When we get close, because boy, this is exciting. as we've talked about this video that will be in the making, this is a Women and Girls Fund kind
of
project.
And we're so grateful that the Community Foundation created a Women and Girls Fund. If they hadn't, you know, I don't know that we'd be going down this road of being able to make a film. It's not something we typically do. We did do it one time, so we have a little bit of expertise on it. But if we didn't have the funding to go in that direction, we wouldn't be creating a teen film on healthy relationships and teen dating violence. And, you know, we've talked this entire show about that subject. I mean, I think one of my favorite things that Sarah does in the schools is introduce teens to the concept of healthy relationships, even when we talk with adults. If you look for a definition of healthy relationship, people are not so readily being able to tell you what that means or what that is, what that looks like. And so in those presentations, it's really wonderful to hear teens struggle through and create definitions early on so that for the rest of their lives, they have an indication that, hey, I deserve a healthy relationship and this is what it means to me and what it looks like.
Boy, and Sarah, one of the things, I mean, you're getting it really on the ground floor with the teenagers, because in the case, whether it's boys or girls, they may be just modeling something they see at home, and they're bringing that into relationships and either doing it or accepting it.
Absolutely. You know, it could be anywhere from they're modeling those relationships to, we talk quite a bit about just even the media impact. You think about like what the media says about relationships, what's in songs today or TV shows or video games. I mean, it's not modeling the same kind of healthy that we're talking about. So helping even to differentiate that some of the expectations in the media is so contrasted with, you know, when you're thinking about equality, about shared power and about being able to respect each other. And, you know, to be confident in who you are, allow them to be confident in who they are, taking responsibility for your mistakes. Those are not things we're seeing in the media either. So whether it's them seeing it modeled in relationships or even just within different multimedia forms that they may be enjoying, like helping them to differentiate that's not healthy either, and knowing how to look for healthy and how to display healthy in their relationships.
You mentioned the website a couple times. Loveisrespect.org is a good website.
Correct. I love loveisrespect.org just because not only does it provide a lot of downloadable information for teens, but it's very teen friendly. They have a texting hotline. You can text love is to 22522, which I believe is also a huge thing, a huge resource for teens, because a lot of times teens may not want to call a traditional hotline, despite the new song out there about teen hotlines. Like they may not want to call. They may want to just text in. In addition to that, there's online chats and just a lot of wealth of information on that site.
Well, great stuff today. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for what you do. And this is obviously with 1 in 3 teens involved in this, a conversation that will continue. And especially when we get close to getting this video out, we'll have to do more of this. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
And PowerhouseVA.org. Sarah King here, the support services coordinator at Empowerhouse. And always good to have Kathy Anderson, the executive director here. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Ted.
EmpowerhouseVA.org. And if you want to get a hold of Empowerhouse and talk to them about ways that you could help finish the work with the domestic violence shelter, 373-9372. That's it for Town Talk. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.